Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And there are toxic chemicals all over the place. I don't want to give the impression that we don't have toxic chemicals around us, because we do. There are toxic chemicals in our environment, in consumer products. We're even storing toxic chemicals in our bodies from past exposures, because our bodies are exposed to way more toxic chemicals than they can handle. And they just build up unless we do things, specific things, to help our bodies detox. So today what is the date today? It's the 21st of January, 2014. And my guest today is Cassidy Randall. She's the Director of Outreach and Engagement for Women's Voices for the Earth. And that's a nonprofit organization that amplifies women's voices to eliminate the toxic chemicals that harm our health and communities. They write very excellent reports. They also organize campaigns so that your one voice gets combined with many others, millions of others, to be able to communicate to regulators and manufacturers to tell them that we want toxic-free products. Welcome, Cassidy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So could you first tell us some more about Women's Voices for the Earth? How did the organization start, and what was the what happened that was the inspiration for thinking that there was a need for this organization?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So Women's Voices for the Earth started in 1995, and our creation story is actually a pretty cool one. So one of the women who founded the organization was at a traditional environmental meeting, one that kind of focuses on conservation of, pristine lands and things like that. And she noticed that a lot of the women kept leaving the room, and she went out and she found them all kind of congregated in the lobby saying things like, gosh, I really wish we could make our voices heard. I feel like nobody's listening to me. I keep getting steamrolled. And so she walked back into the room and said, I want to do something. Give me a task. And the man who was leading the meeting literally looked at her and said, you can bring the tea and cookies for the next meeting.
Oh, my God.
And so, of course, this is not indicative of many, many traditional environmental organizations out there, but that was really the impetus for this idea that we needed an organization where women were the change agents for whatever change we wanted to see in the world. And that change is, through a lot of research, we've really discovered that, of course, women care about pristine lands and clean air and all of that. Of course we do, but we also are extremely passionate about what's going on in our own backyards. Women's Voices for the Earth started out as an organization that was working on, coal-fired power plants, medical incinerators, things like that. We were really regional. A few years later, we kind of skyrocketed onto the national scene and started focusing on toxic chemicals and consumer products, because consumer products are really a big route of exposure of toxic chemicals to women for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
And so that's really kind of our inception story. And one of the reasons that we focus so much on women is that we are born out of the belief that women really have this tremendous social, economic, and political power to make change when it comes to toxic chemicals in our environment.
I completely agree with that, because women are, when we're talking about consumer choices, women are the ones that are making most of those choices. And I'm looking on your website, which is Women's Voices, I have to look up here, womensvoices.org. And if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, there's a description of this show, and at the bottom there's a link to a particular page that talks about what we're talking about today. But on that page, there's a list of all these different reports that they've done, and it's probably on some other page on their website too, I'm sure. But they cover things like, well, today we're going to be talking about feminine care products, but they've also talked about scents, perfume. They talk about personal care product. They talk about cleaning products, all kinds of things that women are using every day, lead in lipstick, things like that. And so these are products that we're using. Men are not using these products. We're using these products, and we need to know what's in them. We need to be empowered to make our own choices think for ourselves, have the facts about toxic chemicals. And if the men did nothing and only women changed how they purchase products, we would change the world. We absolutely would change the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true when we're talking about, consumer products and economic power. I mean, women make almost 85% of consumer decisions in the average home, and that is just a massive, massive amount of economic power. And we are seeing that in action over just the last year because women were demanding safer products. Johnson & Johnson has just reformulated their No More Tears shampoo to remove two cancer-causing chemicals. Procter & Gamble removed phthalates and triclosan from their products. Simple Green removed a toxic chemical linked to low birth weight and fertility problems. And the list goes on. I mean, Walmart, Target coming out with sustainability policies that don't include toxic chemicals. And it's all a direct result of women wielding this massive amount of economic power and saying, we will not buy your products until we know they're safe.
Yes. Yes. And I think that that's wonderful. So how did you get, you personally, get connected up with Women's Voices for the Earth?
I was doing my master's project on kind of a cross section of women and the environmental movement, but in a developing country in Guatemala. So kind of working on the intersection of the women's movement and environmentalism. And I'm just lucky enough that Women's Voices for the Earth, although we're a national organization, is based here in Missoula, Montana, where I was getting my master's degree. So I was lucky enough to slide in and be part of this amazing team of women doing really amazing things over the last several years.
That's great. So what we're going to be talking about today is your new latest report. Excuse me. Your latest report called Chem Fatale.
Chem Fatale.
That's very good. Okay. So there's so much information in this report. I think when we come back from the break, well, let's just start. Let's start right now. But let's just spend the whole show like going through your report, and we're not going to get through the whole thing, but just let's just pick some of the most widely used products and really talk about what are the toxic chemicals in those products and the health effects, and also what women can do instead. But first, I want you to explain, at the beginning of the report, you talk about what is unique about that part of the feminine anatomy that makes it very critical to watch out for why we're using toxic chemicals and why we shouldn't.
Yeah, that is a really good question. So we decided to write this report for a number of reasons. One is that manufacturers of feminine care products like pads and tampons don't have to disclose any of the ingredients in those products, pads and tampons, because they're regulated as medical devices. And with other feminine care products like douches, wipes, sprays, feminine deodorants, things like that, manufacturers aren't required to disclose the fragrance ingredients in those products. And we know that there are some very toxic chemicals in the fragrance in those products. And so in addition to women having the right to know what they are using on their bodies, the vaginal area on a woman is so absorptive. It's one of the most absorptive parts of our bodies. And a really good example of this is that, you know, that doctors are increasingly administering hormone treatments vaginally because it doesn't have to be metabolized through our body. You know, if you take something orally, for example, it has to go through the digestive system. But our vaginal tissue is so absorptive that it's just a really great way to get that hormone treatment straight into your bloodstream. So we are finding hormone disruptors as some really common ingredients used in feminine care products. And that is just, I think, a stat that is so sort of concerning that we know that this is such an absorptive part of our body, such a sensitive part of our bodies. That these products, I mean, even more, I would say, than, you know, the skin on your arm or, you know, the skin on your face, we should be so careful about what we are allowing companies to actually put in those products.
I agree. You know, we've talked on the show before about how fast that if you just put something on your skin, like on your arm, like a lotion or something, how fast it goes into your bloodstream, and just in less than a minute. It just within seconds, I know that I've put some things that have essential oils in them, for example, where I can actually taste the oil has migrated from my arm up to my taste buds in a matter of seconds. And if it can go that fast from my arm, it's going like many, many times faster through that more delicate tissue in that area. And it's just, to me, it's just appalling that these things are allowed in such a place that can just be distributed through your body that fast. Mm-hmm. We need to go to break, but we'll be back in very soon. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're talking about feminine care products with Cassidy Randall from Women's Voices for the Earth. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Cassidy Randall, Director of Outreach and Engagement for Women's Voices for the Earth, a nonprofit organization that educates women about toxic chemicals and products and helps amplify their voices out into the world to improve and make this a more toxic-free world there. So I'm once again looking at your report, Chem Fatale, and I see that the most widely used feminine care product is tampons. So let's start there.
Great, yeah. So both pads and tampons, as I mentioned before, are regulated as medical devices. And what that means is that companies don't have to list any of the ingredients that they use in those products. And that's different from the other feminine care products that we examine in this report, like wipe, wash, douche, feminine deodorant, anti-itch cream. Those products are regulated as cosmetics, and so they are required to list all ingredients except for fragrance, which we'll get into. With pads and tampons, one of the things that we're concerned about with tampons in particular are the bleaching process, chlorine bleaching process, to get that, you know, white cotton that you see on a lot of mainstream tampon brands. And hazardous ingredients there may include dioxins and furans, which are linked to cancer, pesticide residues from that bleached cotton, from cotton, and unknown fragrance chemicals. Of course, we're seeing fragrance tampons and pads right now. And so exposure concerns to all of those chemicals can include cancer, some reproductive harm, hormone disruption, and allergic rash. What's particularly interesting about pads is that some of those adhesive chemicals and some of the fragrance chemicals are being linked to allergic rash. And again, these are things that we deserve to know what is actually in these products. We deserve to know what we are using inside our bodies. I mean, tampons in particular, these are products that are in prolonged contact with some of the most absorptive skin on our bodies. And so when it comes to pads and tampons, what we are recommending that women do for now is look for those companies that are actually listing all the ingredients that they're using in those products on the label, and look for ones that are not scented. You know, there is no reason that, you know, your vagina needs to smell like a mountain breeze. We are marketed to so heavily now about what we are supposed to smell like, about what is hygienic. And in truth, I mean, you know, we're seeing a Tampax pad or a Tampax tampon or an Always pad with, you know, fresh scent. And that fresh scent is really, I think, what's going to draw the attention, not what your vagina is supposed to smell like. And so, you know, all of that marketing out there for scent, women are heavily marketed to for scent. And when it comes to scent, women are so much more susceptible to fragrance allergies, for example. And we're seeing this, again, with some of the most absorptive skin on our bodies.
So I'd just like to, again, this is something I've said before, but bears repeating, that when people think about something being toxic, they think something being very toxic, like dioxin, that's what's toxic, that it causes cancer or people die from it or whatever. But if you look in a toxicology book, allergy is considered to be a toxic effect. So just because it sounds so like something that you would just take a pill for, it actually is an indicator that if you're allergic to something, that indicates that it's being toxic to your body. I also want to give my suggestions for alternatives to tampons. Of course, I had to come to a decision about this at some point in my life. And what I decided for myself was to not use them at all. And I think that there are there's a gradient of choices that we all, for every product, we have choices that range from very, very toxic and that we don't want to use those. And then there's the most least toxic choice. And in between, there's all kinds of choices of varying toxicity and convenience. And Just to explain the difference between what Cassidy and Women's Voices for the Earth do and what I do, both of them operating hand in hand and both being important, is that they're working on getting large manufacturers to make their products less toxic. What I'm doing is running around and finding the products that already are less toxic to use as an alternative. But I'm totally in agreement that every product on earth should be non-toxic. So what I decided to use was to use cloth pads instead of tampons. And I ended up just making my own. You can buy them. You can go to debraslist.com, and I've listed the ones that you can buy. There's also a little rubber cup that you can use that's reusable, and you can use that instead of a tampon. You would insert it like a tampon, but it collects the blood, and then you just empty it and wash it and reuse it. So there are alternatives available that are way outside of what you're going to find at the supermarket. But in addition, we do want to have companies making safe tampons and getting those toxic chemicals out of the marketplace.
Yeah, and I will just mention that we are asking Procter & Gamble right now to remove toxic chemicals and disclose all ingredients from Tampax and Always. And so Procter & Gamble, as most people know, is one of the biggest consumer product companies on the planet. And Tampax and Always, which they make, are some of the top-selling feminine care products out there. And so to be able to move a really big company like this to make that decision for consumer health and safety would just set off this domino effect in the industry. And so if people are interested in asking Procter & Gamble to remove and disclose toxic chemicals in Tampax and Always, you can go to our website at womensvoices.org.
And sign the petition.
Absolutely.
Yes, a good thing to do. Okay, so we're coming up on another break, but when we come back, I think let's talk about fragrance, because right. Fragrance really is a big thing. It's in all these products that you're talking about in your report, but it's also in so many other products, all the cleaning products and the personal care products, and it really is a big thing. I know I have, whenever I mention things about fragrance on my website, I get lots and lots of comments from people, and actually my readers are really interested in doing a whole big campaign just to get fragrance out of everything. So we'll talk about, when we come back from the break, we'll talk about why fragrance is so important, why it's so harmful. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Cassidy Randall, Director of Outreach and Engagement for Women's Voices for the Earth. And again, you can go to her website, womensvoices.org, and sign the petition telling Procter & Gamble that you want feminine care products without fragrance. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Cassidy Randall, Director of Outreach and Engagement for Women's Voices for the Earth. And we're talking about their new report, their latest report, Chem Fatale, which is all about the toxic chemicals in women's feminine care products. Cassidy, I said before the break that we would talk about fragrance. When we came back, and tell us how toxic fragrance is.
Yeah, well, so the thing, I don't want anyone to think that, you know, fragrance itself is inherently toxic. There's a certain problem with fragrance that makes us concerned, and that is that most companies, especially mainstream and big companies where you see all of those name brands on the shelves, are not required, well, all companies are not required to disclose fragrance ingredients, and there are some small companies who are breaking that and saying, you know what, no. Consumers deserve to know what is in our fragrance ingredients, and we have nothing to hide, but it is those big name brands that you will see that are keeping all of those ingredients a secret. Now, a fragrance can be made up of anywhere from, you know, 10 to 100 plus chemicals. And the reason that we know that some of those are toxic, although most companies keep them secret, is that a couple of years ago, the International Fragrance Association released this master list of chemicals commonly used in fragrance. There are over 3,000 chemicals on that list, and there are some really scary things on that list as well. Carcinogens, cancer-causing chemicals like styrene, hormone disruptors like synthetic musk, galaxylide, and tonalide, reproductive toxins like phthalates, some problematic disinfectants even that can be used in fragrance like triclosan, and numerous allergens. And allergens themselves are certainly not toxic, and we aren't saying that companies shouldn't be using allergens because not everyone is allergic to them. You know, some common ones that might be listed on a label for those companies that are actually listing fragrance ingredients might be, you know, limonene, linalool, things like that. And so not everybody is allergic to those. It's just that those people who are allergic deserve to know that those are in products.
And I agree.
Yeah. And so with fragrance, you know, of course, we understand that people, we want to enjoy fragrance, you know, and, you know, we also understand that companies see that as a way to distinguish their products. The thing that we believe is that fragrance ingredients should be disclosed and there should not be toxic chemicals used in those fragrances.
Hear, hear. I totally, totally agree with everything you're saying. Now, I would say that the alternative is to choose products that are scented with essential oils and that those essential oils are listed on the label so you know exactly which ones they are. And they're often in products. You can get some that have organic essential oils, or you could just use products that are not scented at all, which is actually my personal preference. Most of the products that I buy are not scented at all. And if I want something scented, it's usually something like I'll buy a handmade soap that's got scented with essential oils. And then you don't have all these conflicting fragrances, but like when I take a shower, I have a nicely fragrant soap. So I think these ingredients are so toxic to just have people be using toxic chemical fragrances willy-nilly in every product, I think is a very dangerous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So especially in that area of the body. So what's the next most dangerous, I think, personal care, feminine care product that we should be talking about?
You know, I think that one that we want to talk about is douching. And
okay.
Douching is, you know, we rarely say with any products, do not use those products. But there are a couple that are just so inherently toxic or that that maybe mess with your system so much where we say don't use them or, you know, create this paradigm that is so toxic. In beauty, for example, like skin lighteners tend to be so inherently toxic in both the chemicals that are used in them and in their description of what beauty is that skin we simply say don't use skin lighteners. So that's a rare example of that. Douching is another one where, gosh, we really want to be careful of douching. So, you know, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, you know, recently came out with this recommendation against douching to maintain vaginal health and vulvar health. And so the vagina is self-cleaning, and so we don't necessarily need all of these things that are being marketed to us when it comes to feminine care products now, like feminine deodorant douches, feminine washes, feminine wipes. The vagina has self-cleaning mechanisms. And
yes.
Douching, you know, it's certainly a cultural practice. It can be, you know, it has a lot to do with socioeconomic factors and, you know, how you grew up and all of those things. But what we're seeing is just this long, long list of health problems linked to douching, including, you know, I'll just list off some here, bacterial vaginosis, pelvic inflammatory disease, cervical cancer, low birth weight, preterm birth, HIV transmission, ectopic pregnancy, chronic yeast infections, infertility. So with douche, you know, some of the chemicals that we're concerned about are, of course, those unknown fragrance chemicals. And another is octoxinol 9, which is actually a spermicide. And so, of course, you know, most women who are douching are not expecting to be douching with a spermicide. You know, that's
right.
Actually not the purpose of douching. The purpose of douching is to, you know, supposedly clean the vagina, although it is self-cleaning. And so I think that most women would be shocked to find out that a spermicide is actually a really common ingredient in douching. And so that is one where we would really love to just sort of start to bring awareness to this idea that maybe there are certain feminine care products that aren't needed for a healthy vagina. Can you eliminate certain feminine care products to start to reduce your exposure to some of these toxic chemicals? And maybe, you know, can you sort of, if you regularly use douche, start to maybe use it a little less frequently so that you can lower your exposure risk to some of these really toxic chemicals and some of these health concerns that we are really concerned about.
I agree. Now, I would also say that it's been my experience with other kinds of products like deodorant, for example, that the body, I think that a healthy body will just be clean and smell good. on its own without these products. And I think that products like deodorant and douche and some of these others, they exist because our, as a society, our bodies are so unhealthy that people think that they need to do something to make their not so nice smelling bodies smell better. I would say to any woman that if you are having a problem that is odor or you think requires more cleanliness or whatever, you should probably go see your doctor and find out why it's that way rather than douching and just trying to clean it up yourself, because it's a indicator that there's something out of balance. That's not the way it's supposed to be.
And, you know, most women don't use those products because something is out of balance. I think that a lot of it, you know, I would definitely like to make this very clear to everybody who's listening that if you are using some of these feminine care products that we're talking about, that you should not feel guilty about this, because you have, one, no way of knowing that they're toxic, because you will not be, you can't read a lot of those ingredients on the label. And two, we are marketed to so heavily as women about the fact that we should smell good, about what we should be doing. I mean, there were these Playtex ads that are out right now. Playtex is making feminine wipes with captions that say something like, a clean peach gets picked, or a clean knob gets turned. I mean, this is what we are marketed to daily. And so if you are out there using some of these feminine care products that we're talking about, do not feel guilty about it at all. This is not your fault at all. It is company's responsibility to make sure that products are safe.
Okay, we have to go to a break. We'll be right back and talk about all of this some more. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Cassidy Randall from Women's Voices for the Earth, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Cassidy Randall, Director of Outreach and Engagement for Women's Voices of the Earth. And they're a nonprofit organization that amplifies women's voices to eliminate toxic chemicals that harm our health and communities. And one of the things that they do is they write reports telling people where the toxic chemicals are in common products that are used, particularly products that women use. And they also contact manufacturers on behalf of women and various organizations to get those manufacturers to remove toxic chemicals from those products so that everybody can have safe and healthy products. You can, right now, they're working on contacting Procter & Gamble to get them to take fragrance out of tampons. So if you want to go to their website, womensvoices.org, you can sign the petition for that and be part of making your voice heard. Cassidy, how about feminine deodorants? I see, as I was just scrolling through the report, that this is one that actually has a warning label on it.
That has a warning label on it. Let's
it says,
see.
Caution for external use only. Spray.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah,
skin.
So that one, and in fact, is kind of not unique just to the deodorant. That's another problem that we are seeing with feminine care products and the way that they're regulated. And so, as I mentioned, pads and tampons are regulated as medical devices, and then the rest of these that we're talking about, the wipes, the washes, douches, deodorants, anti-itch creams, are regulated as cosmetics, and so the FDA regulates those. And most of these are for use. The way that companies market them is for external use only. But we are talking about the nature of the way that these are used, particularly things like a feminine wash, for example, or a feminine deodorant that you are spraying in that area. The nature of the way that these products are used means that it is extremely unlikely that internal exposure is not going to happen. And so one thing that is, you know, really telling with why we need to work on regulating these products a little bit better and the ingredients that are used in them is that in a feminine wash, for example, there is a dye, a commonly used dye in feminine washes that the FDA has said is safe for external use only, has said that it cannot be used in food for internal consumption. And it's in a feminine wash that is very clearly, from the way that it's used, going to have some internal exposure. And so that is another issue, I think, that really needs to be brought up when we are talking about how are the ingredients that are going into feminine care products being evaluated. They need to be evaluated for internal use, because that's the reality of how they're used.
Yes, I totally agree. This is, yeah. So what are some ingredients? I'm looking here in the report, And one of the things that's great about your reports is that that you explain, you tell us what the toxic chemicals are and also what the health effects are. And at the very end, if you're so inclined, there's pages and pages of all the references of the studies. So these are extremely well put together reports, extremely well researched, extremely well written.
Thank you. I am
on the internet every day looking for this kind of information, and I can't tell you how many websites I go to where they just make a claim with no supporting information. So
yeah,
you're
we
doing
try to base everything on science, definitely.
Yes, you're doing a very professional job, and I could certainly call your documents to be trusted sources because you have all the documentation, and they're very clearly written. So I do want to encourage people to go to your website. Again, that's womensvoices.org, because there's at least a dozen reports like this on different kinds of household products that you could learn a lot from about where the toxic chemicals are. Let's see, what else do we have here? We actually are coming up to the end of the show in about 5 or 6 minutes. So what haven't we mentioned that you really want to mention?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about some solutions with you.
Okay,
got
great.
Time for that. Yeah, so when we are talking about what can women do to reduce their exposure, you know, and this is, as I kind of mentioned so passionately before, that I never want women to feel guilty about finding out that they're using a product that's toxic, because it's virtually almost impossible unless you have a PhD or, you know, you're a member of an organization like ours and you read all of our emails to know sometimes where toxic chemicals are even lurking. And so we try and make it a little bit easier by giving some ideas for how to reduce your exposure, because this is a new subject for a lot of women. I guarantee that there is very, very few people
yes.
out there actually talking about toxic chemicals in feminine care products. So if you're just finding out about this issue, take a look on our website at womensvoices.org for a list of Hall of Shame products. And so we put together a list based on label reading. So pads and tampons, of course, are not included in this list because they don't disclose ingredients, but of other feminine care products that contain some of these really toxic chemicals that we have researched. So take a look on our website, look for feminine care products, and then click on the Hall of Shame. And if you find that you are using any of those products, try and replace them with ones that aren't on that list. And then what you can do is look for brands that actually disclose all ingredients on the label, including what's in fragrance. And in March, we will be releasing a list of companies that actually do that, who we have been working with. So we'll actually be able to point women to a lot of different companies that are really, really conscious about consumer health and safety, which is great.
Good.
If you can reduce your use of feminine care products, that's another great way to reduce your exposure. You know, for example, if now you are somebody who might use a wash in the shower and a feminine wipe on the go and maybe a deodorant spray, try reducing, you know, taking one of those out of your routine. It's a great way to reduce your exposure. Eliminate the use of products that might be unnecessary to a healthy vagina, like we were talking about douching. So if you are using feminine care products out of a concern for health, it's good to know that that's not really necessary. So that's a good reason to reduce your exposure as well. If you can choose unscented and unfragranced products where available, and of course that's going to be particularly pads and tampons, because these washes, sprays, wipes, of course they have fragrance in them. So look for tampons and pads that are fragrance-free. And again, with tampons and pads, if you can look for any that are not bleached, if they are unbleached cotton, that is another great way to reduce your exposure to those pesticides and some of those byproducts from the bleaching process. And, of course, as we have mentioned, if you want to go a step further and actually start to make some systemic change here, because that's really our goal at the end of the day, right, is that all products should be safe, no matter what, no matter where you live, no matter what products you buy, everything we pick up off the shelf should be safe. And so the one big step that we're taking in order to get there with feminine care products is asking Procter & Gamble to list all ingredients in their Tampax, tampons, and Always pads and remove the toxic ones. And so you can go to our website, get involved in this campaign, and start spreading the word about it. So it's another great way to raise your voice.
Excellent. Excellent. Those are really good things to do. And again, they're at all different levels of participation and all different levels of what you can do. There's, you know, some people who want to be more extreme than others or take a baby step. And every single step is a step in the right direction. And so just whatever you think that you can do, then do that. I know that I've been avoiding toxic chemicals for more than 30 years in my own life. And in the beginning, there were things that I wasn't willing to do. And like my favorite story is the one about my red lipstick, which took me a very long time to find that exactly right shade of red. And they've got a whole, Women's Voices for the Earth has a whole report on lead in lipstick, which you should read. And I was unwilling to give up my lipstick. At that time, I didn't know that it had lead in it. But I just stuck with it and stuck with it and stuck with it. And finally, a red lipstick came on the market that was natural instead of being made from petroleum and all those additives and those toxic things. And so I was able to make that change. So it takes time. It's not something that you can just, you know, making that change, just doing it all overnight. But just as you're choosing a product, as you go to the store, next time it's time to buy some of these feminine care products, make a different choice or decide to eliminate it. And one by one, household by household, product by product, we are and will continue to move away from toxic chemicals and create a less toxic world so that everybody cannot be made ill by these we shouldn't be living at a time, in a place where it's more likely that if you pick up a product off the shelf that it's going to be toxic, then it will be toxic free. Don't you think that's true?
I do. I really do. I think that we are seeing a sea change right now in kind of our culture, and you know, with Congress knowing that all of this is coming down the pipeline, and their constituents want policies that actually regulate toxic chemicals, with major companies like Walmart and Target seeing that their customers will not buy toxic products off the shelves. And, you know, that's what we mentioned just real quickly earlier. We talked about women's massive economic power. So when you're out there and you are choosing a feminine care product that maybe is, you know, an unbleached cotton tampon, or you're choosing a wash that actually discloses all ingredients, you are voting with your dollars, and companies watch what we do like hawks.
They absolutely do. They absolutely do. We need to like really get this, how powerful we are, because we really are.
Exactly. It's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's a lot we can do. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for Cassidy.
Thank you.
For being
thank you so
on.
Much for helping spread the word on this kind of new and a little bit touchy subject.
Well, you're very welcome, and I hope you'll come back when you have other new reports coming out. I would love to have you on whenever you have something new to say.
Thanks, and we'd love to. So, again, thank you so much, and our website is womensvoices.org, and come take a look.
Yes, go take a look. Please, everybody, go take a look. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you can go to my website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, and find out who's going to be on tomorrow.